Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mystery Babylon Radio on Wednesday, March 13th, 2013. Tonight, Tom Press will be my guest, and Tom is currently reading Ecclesiastical Megalomania by John W. Robbins on his broadcast on Inquisition Update on First Amendment Radio. Welcome to the broadcast, Tom.
Good evening, Walt, and good evening to your listeners. Nice to be with you.
Well, last week, Tom, on your broadcast, Thursday, when you were reading out of John W. Robbins' book, you covered a section that was called censorship.
Oh, yeah.
And so I'm going to play. It's 25 minutes. And after the 25 minutes, we'll have some comments on it. So here it is right now.
Number two, the influence of theological censorship, which for the past 400 years has restricted theological expression and discussion. Here again is a note from the author. He says, of course, censorship has been a characteristic of the Roman church state from its inception as well, not merely during the last 400 years. The 1983 revision of the Code of Canon Law abolished the index of prohibited books, but prior censorship is retained. Of course, there's nothing to prevent the revival of the index at any time. And this is what my Roman Catholic critic says, that the index of forbidden books has been abolished. But we all know that the Roman Catholic Church censors the information that is given in history books. That's why you can't find so many of the books that I read on Inquisition Update. You can't find them in libraries anymore. And there are just certain things that can't be written about in this country. Welcome back from the break. You're listening to the second half hour of Inquisition Update on FirstAmendmentRadio.com. If you love Inquisition Update and would like to do your part and help support the program, please support First Amendment Radio, who sponsors the program. All I ask from my listeners is prayer. Pray that God preserves, protects, and defends His people. He protects and provides for His people and for Inquisition Update. Now, back to the book, enumerating the failure of the Roman Catholic Church to correct itself or to be corrected on the subject of slavery has several factors. Number one, we read before the break, the principle of the continuity and irreformability of doctrine. I mean, after all, if you really are indeed, as the Roman Catholic Church asserts, that it is the one holy Roman Catholic and Apostolic Church, the church outside of which there is no possibility of salvation, and that its teachings are divine and infallible, certainly they're not interested in reforming their doctrine. Number two, the influence of theological censorship, which for the past 400 years has restricted theological expression and discussion. I enumerated some of the things, the books that were written, particularly in the 1700s, about the horrors of Roman Catholicism, are not found on the library shelves anymore. It's considered hate speech. I mean, the Vatican has control of the government, Catholics in the government, they don't want these books on the shelves. And the Knights of Columbus don't want these books on the shelves. The Jesuits don't want these books on the shelves. And so they're simply gotten rid of. It's a matter of political correctness. But it goes even further than that. Everybody knows the mainstream media is censored, that we don't get the news from the mainstream media. We are told what to think on the mainstream media. It's a It's a means of national indoctrination. Okay, there's more to be learned from history, real, true history, as we read here on Inquisition Update, than anyone's ever going to get in the mainstream media. The history of the Roman Catholic Church is completely glossed over in the media. It's not even discussed. And this includes even the alternative media. I was suggested by a listener that if you were to go to Alex Jones's website, Infowars.com, and write a response to a video or an article, and in your response, if it contains the words Knight of Malta or Jesuits, your response doesn't even show up on the website. It's automatically censored. And I can tell you from years of experience on amateur radio, if you talk about the Jesuit order, the Knights of Columbus, the Knights of Malta, the history of the Roman Catholic Church, the vileness of its popes throughout history, it's Roman Catholic canon law, it's scriptural doctrinal errors, or any other negative aspect of the Roman Catholic Church, and particularly if you insinuate that the Roman Catholic Church has controlling interest in our government nowadays, you simply jammed off the band. They won't allow you to talk. Oh, they joke among themselves. They say, well, we're not preventing Tom from saying whatever he wants to say. He has freedom of speech. It's just that nobody can hear him. We drown him out. And of course, even the American Radio Relay League gets on the act and sticks their official observers on me, sending me cards and saying, you're broadcasting. That's illegal. Never mind that I'm in a discussion with several other licensed amateur radio operators who, by the way, can't be heard for all the jamming. They say that I'm broadcasting. That, in other words, that I'm just making one-way transmissions without being in a discussion with anybody. And then, after making that false charge that they know is false, then they get to the real brass tacks, and in the comments of the cards they send me, they say, discussions like yours would be better held in another service like shortwave or the internet, but not on ham radio. That from the American Radio Relay League, and they sent me cards for years. I kept ignoring them, and I kept doing my very best until the jamming got so bad that nobody would participate with me. Censorship on amateur radio, government-sponsored censorship on amateur radio. And let me tell you what the basis for this censorship is. As I have asserted, the New World Order is simply the restoration of the Old World Order. During the Old World Order, the church and the state were united. The church was infallible. It claimed divine right to rule over the kings of the earth, and that the kings of the earth shared that divine right. Okay? They shared the power of the papacy. They also shared his sanctity. As long as they were obedient to the Pope, they shared the Pope's sanctity. And so the church and the state together became sacrosanct. Criticizing the king could get your head removed from your shoulders. And criticizing the Pope could get you burnt at the stake. Well, that's what's happening on amateur radio. Because I criticize the Roman Catholic Church, the papacy, its pedophile priests, and I review, for anybody who will listen, the diabolical history of the Roman Catholic Church, even to the present day. And I criticize our government and the new laws that they're passing commensurate with Roman Catholic papal encyclicals. Just as this author is proving in his book, Ecclesiastical Megalomania. And since the church and the state are now sacrosanct, you can't criticize the church or the state. If you accuse the American government of being directly, criminally responsible for 9/11, you get jammed right off the band. Military personnel, police personnel, who also have amateur radio license, thinks it's their moral, patriotic duty to see to it that nobody hears you. And if they can't shut you up through intimidation and jamming, they go after your job. They start writing accusations to your employer, or your wife's employer, or your landlord, or your family, saying he's off his nut. Something's wrong with him. People have lost their jobs. People have suffered divorces in their lives because of the trouble that these people wage against those who speak ill of the government or of the church. And I've been the subject to all of it. And I've paid a terrible price to put this information on amateur radio. They say discussions of politics and religion on amateur radio is verboten. Now, of course, the Federal Communications Commission can't enforce that rule because that's a direct violation of the First Amendment of the Constitution. So what they do is they turn a blind eye and a deaf ear to all the jamming, and they authorize the ARRL to engage in what is called self-policing. And ARRL members organize and jam discussions that violate the rule of no discussions of politics and religion on amateur radio. It's done in the clear light of day, and yet few people are willing to protest it and insist that the ARRL take its censorship elsewhere, and that the Federal Communications Commission enforce the rules and enforce the tenets of the First Amendment, protecting our constitutional rights of liberty of speech. Look, the information that I share here on Inquisition Update is the exact same information that I share with listeners on amateur radio. It's critical to the survival of this nation and our Protestant way of life and our Protestant institutions and our liberties that the American people be apprised of these things, that they have a say in the government, and that the government cannot return to the dark days of the medieval ages when tyranny ruled supreme. I know where that tyranny comes from, and I know who imposes it upon the people of this country. It's a union of church and state. The Pope and the King are once again united and sacrosanct, and the people's rights are being destroyed. Every American, whether he be Catholic or Protestant or any other religion, needs to be aware that the Roman Catholic Church is now dictating to Washington what is okay to talk about on amateur radio. And the Amateur Radio Relay League is enforcing rules that violate the Constitution of the United States. They are to be wholly condemned and held as treason. They don't mind me talking about these things on Inquisition Update on the internet, because finding Inquisition Update on the internet is like finding a needle in the haystack. I don't have very many listeners, but on amateur radio, my signal is heard in all 48 states and much of Canada and Mexico. On any given night, there are thousands of people that hear my signal. People raising Cain out in California because of the information that I provide on amateur radio. I'm here in the central part of the country in Iowa. People protest what I say at the very tip of Florida, from the very tip of Maine, from the very tip of Washington State, from the very southern tip of California, from the very southern tip of Texas. I know they hear me. They protest what I'm talking about. They don't want a protestant protesting on amateur radio. They don't want anybody to know what the Pope is doing in this country. Censorship! They're taking away my free speech rights. They're taking away the rights that this author, Dr. John W. Robbins, is exercising in his book. is this book going to be like all the other books in my library, so rare and so hard to find because of this censorship? Will the Knights of Columbus, will Opus Dei and the rest of the harlot daughters of the Roman Catholic Church remove these books from common circulation? That's why I'm here on First Amendment Radio, reading these books, so that they be recorded, so that they be made available to those who need this information, who want it and need it. And I have an equal right to exercise this liberty of speech on amateur radio. I wish I could be on shortwave. This is critical information that you're not going to get anywhere else. Alex Jones won't talk about this. He doesn't want to alienate his Catholic listeners. He doesn't want to put his life in jeopardy. He's got to make money. He's got to pay his sponsors. Well, we don't care about money here at First Amendment Radio, and we don't have any sponsors but the listeners. God-fearing people who need and want the truth and know where to find it. And it's up to you, my dear listeners, to inform your family and friends and get them to tune in to First Amendment Radio, the Inquisition Update, and hear the truth so rarely even mentioned in this country. And it's the only information that you'll find that will make sense out of what's happening in Washington, D.C., and in our banks and in our schools. The economic collapse of this country, the foreign wars that we fight, the condition of the whole world is explained right here in this book, Ecclesiastical Megalomania, plus all the other books we've read over the years here at Inquisition Update. I've selected the best information I can find. I've spent my own money without remuneration, without begging for support, financial support from my listeners. I've never taken a dime. This is my duty to God and my country. I do it out of spirit of love. Yes, there's anger in my voice because how could this happen in this country? How could Protestantism be so degraded, so apostate, so blind, deaf, and dumb to allow the Roman Catholic Church to take over our country and the world? How could we be so blind, deaf, and dumb to fight papal crusades all over the world? For our entire history, we've fought and carried the water for the Roman Catholic Church. Do the people of this country have to realize that if the Pope wants to rule the world, he doesn't have his own army? The Vatican is only 108 acres. He has to use the armies of the world. So the question is, what armies is he using? And then investigate the wars of the world to find out who really was the winner of those wars. You know, books have been written about those wars. And they're difficult to find. Those books are difficult to find. They're called hate speech because they reveal the Vatican's motive and modus operandi for fomenting these wars. They enumerate the advances and the strengthening of the potential of the temporal power of the Pope in those nations who were involved in the wars. And it describes the heretics that were destroyed, that were targeted in the war. There's a religious motive and a religious end for every war the United States has ever fought. Those books are rare and hard to find. But I read them here on Inquisition Chinope. I read about the most important subjects known to mankind here on Inquisition Chinope. And it's my pleasure to do it. And until God takes me home, I pray that He protects me so that I can continue this work. But I won't tolerate censorship. I won't be silenced, not on Inquisition Update and not on amateur radio. This is war. This is war for the control of our country. This is war for the honor of Christ's name. Antichrist has taken over our government. Antichrist is the one who's censoring us, just like he censored the Bible, just like he censored the books, just like he censors the news, just like he censors the mainstream media and the alternative media, even the most popular alternative media programs. So far, they haven't censored me on Inquisition Update, but if God's people remain silent, that day will swiftly occur. Censorship, the influence of theological censorship for which the past for the past 400 years has restricted theological expression and discussion. The author gives us a note, of course, the censorship has been characteristic of the Roman Catholic Church state from its inception, not merely during the last 400 years. In 1983, revision of the Code of Canon Law abolished the index of forbidden books, but that prohibition could be reinstated anytime. The office of the index of forbidden books could be instituted overnight, simply by papal decree. They'll come through your house, go through your own personal library, find out any books that are derogatory of the state or the church and have them removed, and then have you removed, hauled off to the brig for as long as they want to keep you. Censorship. I hate censorship. And of course, people always say, well, you can't holler fire in a theater. Come on, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about critical history. A history, a subject of historical subjects that were discussed voluminously in this country, in its recent history. The books I read here on Inquisition Update were published publicly and distributed in this country and read in the Protestant churches. The whole country was concerned about the power the Roman Catholic Church was gaining in the United States. Now they want to unite with the Roman Catholic Church. It's insane. Yes, I sound angry. There's plenty to be angry about. Righteous indignation. And don't you think for a minute that God isn't angry. I believe the ecumenical movement, the freedom with which the Roman Catholic Church has been allowed to take control of this country, has angered God to his marrow of his bones. I call it the last straw for Protestant America. This ecumenical movement finally broke the back of the camel. And I think we're seeing the results of it. People are out of jobs. All the industry is being shipped out of the country. They're destroying Protestantism. The target of all that's happening in this country is Protestantism. This is part of the Jesuit-led counter-reformation. And it's happening almost without protest. Oh, sure, they'll criticize the liberal president or the conservative president, whoever's in office at the same time. The Pope really doesn't care as long as the Pope wins. And redistribution of this Protestant nation's wealth is on the agenda, the main agenda of the Vatican. And it's being imposed by both Democratic and Republican presidents. They all serve the Pope. We're in trouble. Everybody knows we're in trouble, but nobody's got a clue who's causing the trouble. They want to talk about politics. Well, who are we going to put in Congress? Who are we going to put in the White House? Nobody wants to hear me tell them. The Pope, by divine right, by Roman Catholic canon law, insists and has always insisted that no one is allowed to rule that isn't seated and crowned by the Pope of Rome. The Pope's going to have his global government because God's people are asleep, fast asleep. And I'm just hoping to wake a few up. Struggle as I might to wake just a few. Item number three, the placing of anti-slavery writings in Roman by Roman Catholic laymen on the index of prohibited books in the 19th century. The uncritical adoption and approval of principles of pagan Roman civil law concerning slavery. The long-continuing misunderstanding of the meaning of the natural moral law. A misunderstanding of the effects of slavery and a misunderstanding of Scripture. Those are the items that Maxwell uses to trace the failure of the Roman Catholic Church State to correct itself or to be corrected on the subject of slavery to several factors. Slavery. You know, I don't think there's any greater form of slavery than to have your tongue cut out of your mouth. And that's what they've done to me on ham radio. And that's what they'll attempt to do to me here on Inquisition Update 2. And when they do, I just pray God raise up another man with as much courage, as much faith, and a louder voice even than mine to try to wake up the Protestants in this country to resist Antichrist. No censorship. I'd rather wear chains. The author continues, he says, Maxwell cited several examples of the Roman Catholic Church State's advocacy and practice of slavery. The Ninth Council of Toledo in 655 decreed that the children of priests who had remained neither celibate nor chaste, it's a historical problem. Here we are, the Ninth Council of Toledo in 655 A.D. decreed that the children of the priests who had remained neither celibate nor chaste would become permanent slaves of the church. In 1012, the Council of Pavia issued a similar decree. These decrees were incorporated into the canon law of the Roman Catholic Church State. Canon law. It's a matter of canon law. Slavery in Roman Catholic canon law. And the Pope can stand up and say that he is against slavery and the whole world believes him. Unbelievable. I've run out of time and I've run out of breath. I'll come back tomorrow, though, as the Lord leads, to continue our reading and discussion of the book Ecclesiastical Megalomania, The Economic and Political Thought of the Roman Catholic Church by Dr. John W. Robbins.
Now, that can be heard. That was Tom on a tape tonight, and that was the last half of his broadcast on March 7th of last week. You can go to First Amendment Radio and go to Inquisition Update, and he has his archives. There's archives. Or you can go to Grand Design Exposed, and I have a link right at the top to Ecclesiastical Megalomania and last week's broadcast. Well, Tom, you know, you mentioned critical history. You know, today I had a friend come by, and I realized by talking that the average person doesn't even know what a Jesuit is. That is the censorship of our history. In other words, and if they don't know who a Jesuit is, when you understand the Jesuits, that connects you to the Reformation, the Counter-Reformation. So somebody that doesn't have any critical history of the Jesuits is going to be pretty much in the dark of what's going on a day-to-day basis in 2013. Comments, Tom?
Yes, well, it is critical history for the survival of Protestantism that Protestants understand the history of the Jesuit order. The Jesuits were created for one thing and one thing only, and that was to destroy the Protestant Reformation and everything that came out or arose out of the Protestant Reformation. Freedom of speech,
freedom of the press, freedom of conscience, freedom of religion, freedom to peacefully assemble. All the liberties that we have that are embodied in our Bill of Rights, and I call it the Protestant Bill of Rights, were rights that were denied the citizenry prior to the Protestant Reformation. You could get your head lopped off, or you could be burned at the stake for gathering secretly to worship God in the privacy of your own home with an open Bible on the table. The Roman Catholic Church wouldn't permit it. It was called heresy. And especially if you had a Bible that was written in your own language so that you could understand it for yourself. Because reading the Bible leaves no room for doubt who the biblical Antichrist is. It's the Pope of Rome, and so said all of the Protestant reformers. And that knowledge had to be rooted out of the world. And that's where we got censorship. And part of that censorship includes the history of the Jesuit order and the purpose for which they were created, to destroy Protestantism and to destroy all republican forms of government, that is, governments of, by, and for the people, governments that wrote their own constitutions, protecting the rights of the people, preserving the rights that the Pope always denied the people before the Protestant Reformation. Those forms of government, those constitutions, those bills of rights had to be destroyed. And it was up to the Jesuit order to do it. And the first volley that they served was the Council of Trent. That was called the Counter-Reformation Council of Trent. It was called by the Jesuit order. It was organized by the Jesuit order, and it was attended most widely by the bishops of Rome and the cardinals. And it was an ecumenical council. It was a huge council. And what it did was once again reiterated and stated once again for the record the tenets of Roman Catholicism, and then expounded upon the errors, what the so-called errors of Protestantism, and literally called Protestantism a heresy, and then justified the extirpation and annihilation of Protestants. And all of history is testimony that the Roman Catholic Church kept good on her threat. And the Jesuits are the leaders in that war against the Protestant Reformation. There ought not to be one Protestant in this country that's unaware of the Jesuit order and the purpose for which they were created. But that history's been removed from our bookshelves, from our libraries, from our churches. And when people hear me talk about the Jesuit order, they don't have a clue what I'm talking about. They've never heard of the word Jesuit before.
And also, Tom, today's new Pope, Francis I, is a Jesuit.
That's what I understand.
And so, in other words, it's right out in the open. If people knew critical history, they would be up in arms.
That's right. As a matter of fact, there's a movement now within the Roman Catholic Church that Vatican Council II was a heresy, and that every pope since John the 23rd was a heretic, and that the ecumenical movement needs to be repudiated, and that they've caused that the ecumenical movement of Vatican Council II and their union with Protestantism has been has resulted in the scandals that we hear about in the Roman Catholic Church. They're blaming that on Vatican Council II. That the Roman Catholic Church lost its way and made peace with heretics, and now Mary is angry, Mother Mary is angry, and is going to punish the Roman Catholic Church unless they repudiate Vatican Council II and return to a more traditional Roman Catholic, in other words, a Council of Trent style of Roman Catholicism, and renew the determination to destroy and to root out Protestantism from off the face of the earth. And that's why Pope John Paul II and that's why Benedict XVI stacked the College of Cardinals to make sure that the next pope was a traditional Roman Catholic, not a liberal as we've seen, a Tridentine Roman Catholic, one who holds to the Council of Trent And who better to serve that purpose, to lead a Holy Roman crusade against the Protestants, than a Jesuit-trained cardinal, now pope?
Yes. Say, you're very familiar with Ronald Cook.
Yes.
I would call him a Reformation historian.
That's right.
Yes. Well, I'd like to play just a two-minute segment here real quick. He was on Noise of Thunder and being interviewed by Chris Pinto. Here is Ronald Cook.
After Reformation.
Yes, I think that that very, very few people know anything about the Counter-Reformation today, even in Bible-believing circles. You know, I think that church history is not well known. You know, Malachy Martin, who was the great Roman Catholic writer of the 20th century, he said there, you know, that many people suspected that in the higher echelons of the church there, that there was quite worldly aims going on and secret almost, and he says, Kabbalistic designs on the rights and liberties and freedoms of ordinary people. And he says, many a sincere Protestant was still convinced that this is true. But I would say that very few Protestants today see anything like Kabbalistic designs in the papacy, or even know anything about the Counter-Reformation of the Jesuits. The Jesuits really spearheaded, you might say, the Counter-Reformation. When Martin Luther first began to preach and write from a separated stance, the Roman Catholic Church did not take him seriously and thought that this German priest would soon fade away. But as the movement began to spread with the help of the printing press all over Germany and to Holland and to Norway and Sweden and places like that, then the Roman Catholic Church realized they had to do something. And just before that, the Jesuits had been founded there in 1534, and they thought, well, this is the group that can spearhead the Counter-Reformation, that is, to try to stop the Protestant Reformation in its tracks and reclaim Germany and Holland and some of these places in Europe from the Protestant movement. So the Jesuits, you know, are looked upon as one of the greatest, that is, by Rome and by many people, as one of the greatest movements in history. The old German political theorist Novalis said that never before in the course of the world's history had such a society appeared. And he said it has a mandate to carry out, you know, the Counter-Reformation. So I said,
anyway, he calls it the greatest the Jesuits caught one of the most, how would you say that, Tom?
Well, it's the most historic and effectual attack against the Protestant Reformation ever launched.
Yes, yes.
And most people don't even realize that there is a campaign against Protestantism.
Yes.
But everyone who calls himself a Protestant sees the effects of the Counter-Reformation, doesn't recognize what they are. And number one is the perversion of the Bibles. All these new Bible translations simply water down the Word of God, take away the blood of Christ. They reduce Jesus to a mere holy man, or a prophet at best, not the Son of the living God who shed his life for our redemption.
And
these Bible perversions are to destroy the Protestant Reformation. What the strength of the Protestant Reformation is to know who Jesus is, to know who Christ is, and also to know who Antichrist is. Both have been attacked by the Jesuits through the Counter-Reformation. To minimize the Word of God, to make Christ of no effect, and to raise up the strength of the biblical, historical, and prophetic Antichrist, the Pope of Rome, his counterfeit. And that's what the Counter-Reformation has done. And it goes even further than the perversion of the Bible, but the destruction of capitalism. Capitalism was a form of economic system that rose out of the Protestant Reformation. They're destroying capitalism. Now, I'm not saying capitalism is perfect, and neither does John W. Robbins in his book, Ecclesiastical Megalomania. But it certainly beat the heck out of papal feudalism.
Yes.
And people can't even tell you the difference between capitalism and feudalism today. They don't know anything about the old world order, so they can't possibly know anything about the new world order. That's why they talk about the nameless, faceless, rich ruling elite are the ones who are responsible for the collapse of this country and are creating a new world order. And the Pope needs to come to our rescue. See how deceived they are?
And I noticed the censorship. You know, I was talking to a researcher, an amateur researcher, and I asked the question what they knew of the Jesuits. And it was a blank.
Sure. They probably looked at you like you had two heads. They've never heard the term Jesuit before. And if they ever have heard the term Jesuit before, they simply recognize them as Roman Catholic priests.
And the Jesuits were formed for the Counter-Reformation to counter the Reformation. And today we have a Jesuit pope.
I want the listeners to know that the Jesuit order constitutes the advanced guard of the Vatican, the advance guard, like our special forces, like our Marines,
right,
like the most highly trained military force on the planet. And nobody who knows anything about the Jesuits would argue with that. Those who know what the Jesuits are about will instantly tell you they're the Pope's militia. They're the ones who are set out around the world to attack every institution, every book, every person that attacks the Roman Catholic Church and calls the Pope Antichrist.
And look at all the countries that they've been kicked out of, the Jesuits, out of Catholic countries.
I'm glad you brought this up. And what needs to be reiterated is that it was Catholic countries who kicked out the Jesuits. Why? Because the Jesuits wanted to destroy the Protestants within those Catholic nations, and they wanted the Catholics to rise up and kill them all. And the Catholics knew better. They didn't want the Jesuits inciting war. They wanted to live at peace with their Protestant neighbors. They were sick and tired of war. And if the people wouldn't rise up against the Protestants in the nation, then they would appeal to the Parliament, or they would appeal to the King to get them to decree Protestantism illegal in the country and to make Roman Catholicism the only religion of the state. And this went on all over Europe. And every nation, now this is important, I want the listeners to realize this. The United States of America is the only nation on the planet where a Jesuit ever set his foot that wasn't kicked out of the country at least once, and sometimes as many as four and five times. The Jesuits have been a horror every place they've gone, but they've been allowed to rule and reign freely in this country without even so much as a criticism of them. And now we're losing our Protestant rights after we fought all these papal proxy wars to bring the rest of the world to the heel of the papacy, to make them all bow down and kiss his ring and be prepared for this new world order of the Pope. Now the papacy is bringing down this country. The entire Counter-Reformation has been waged from this country.
Right.
The Jesuits have used this Protestant nation as a base for their operations all over the world. They've used our military, and they've used our churches, they've used our government, they've used our wealth and our resources and our blood and our sons.
We're out of time, Tom. So listen, thanks for coming, Tom. And I strongly recommend that you get into the archives of Inquisition Update. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next week.
My pleasure.